Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and PS 194, the elementary school on West 144th Street in Harlem, has for years struggled with dwindling enrollment and failing grades. Everyone seems to agree that something must be done to improve education in the neighborhood, but a debate is raging over how to do it. The mayor, a big proponent of charter schools, has been pushing for the school to close and be replaced by a charter school. The teachers' union and a group of parents filed a lawsuit and have stopped the school's closing for now, but the camps are divided over how to fix this struggling school. Eva Moskowitz, former city council education committee chair and longtime vocal critic of the teachers' union labor contracts, has put forth the charter school that she now runs, the Harlem Success Academy, as an example of how charter schools work better. Moskowitz and teachers' union president Randy Weingarten debated last night on New York One over this issue. I want to play two excerpts from that debate. The first is Eva Moskowitz on why she thinks the union contracts have been bad for students. The second is Randy Weingarten on how she thinks union contracts can be adapted to work for all the schools. First, Ms. Moskowitz.
I think there's a major problem we have in the city. We have a failure rate that is monumental. And I think that the contracts and, frankly, the union politics is part of the problem. It's not the whole problem, but it's a very, very significant part of the problem. The contract is hundreds of pages in length. We dissected them in enormous detail when I chaired the Education Committee. And I think it's very difficult to run a successful organization with those kinds of work rules. And I think charters provide an incredible alternative. And if you look at Achievement First or Uncommon or KIPP or Harlem Village Academy, you will see charter schools, public charter schools, knocking the ball out of the park. And I think one of the reasons is that they have the freedom to design schools around teaching and learning, where teachers have enormous input in school design, parents have enormous choice. And I think that that is an indication that we need to make very, very significant changes in traditional public schools.
Now, Union President Randy Weingarten.
This country has lost its middle class, and it's lost in some ways its way. And a lot of the reasons it's lost its middle class is because we have fewer and fewer union members. We have labor density now down to about 7%. We know, in terms of bargaining power of regular workers, they need the power to have a union. And what we've seen in terms of even education, Massachusetts, highest unionized state, and greatest standards, greatest achievement in its public schools. Finland, highest unionized country, greatest achievement in its public schools. Lots of places in the South have no unions, do very badly. So it's not the unions, and it's not a particular union contract. We need to, and I think you're right about this, we need to make sure that the contracts actually are aligned with instruction and are aligned with teaching and learning. And I would love it if we could do some union contracts in your schools in a very different way than we do in the Board of Ed UFT.
Union President Randy Weingarten, preceded by charter school advocate Eva Moskowitz, in their education smackdown with Dominic Carter on New York One last night. We're going to open the phones on this, and I realize it's a small area. I don't know if we happen to have people living in one public school's catchment right now, but first priority will go to anyone who has a child in PS 194 or Eva Moskowitz's Harlem Success Academy or anyone in the neighborhood, but anyone else can weigh in too. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And joining me now to unpack the debate a little bit is Felissa Kramer, reporter for the website GothamSchools.org. Felissa, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
You want to give us a little history of PS 194 and the debate over how to improve education for the students in the neighborhood? Why did this school go so far downhill?
Sure. I think there are a number of schools in Harlem and elsewhere in the city that have been challenged over the years with declining enrollment, low test scores. This isn't a new problem for PS 194, and in fact, a lot of parents there are saying that things might be on the upswing right now with a new principal that they really like and trust.
Let me pick out some points from that debate after I ask you about the parents, because at least one parents group was a party to the lawsuit to not shut 194 and replace it with a charter school. One might think that parents would be clamoring for a failing school to be closed and replaced with some kind of experiment for something new. Are parents divided on this? Are there a lot of parents who would like to see this and a particular group of parents who took part in the lawsuit? Or how would you describe the parents?
There are a lot of parents who are interested in applying to and going to the Harlem Success Schools. There are also parents, fewer than that, who want to stay in their local zone schools. And the party that was part of the lawsuit was a parent organization that said that the DOE's plan to close PS 194 violated laws that gave them control over decisions about school closures.
That gave parents control, because part of the Bloomberg education reforms was, at least on paper, to give parents some more control, right?
Right. The parents, technically in the law, have control, have to be consulted with and approve decisions about closing schools.
There's also this issue of having no zoned school if they do this, right? Because if they replace the only public school in the neighborhood, in the immediate neighborhood, with a charter school, rather than just add a charter school, what you're doing is taking away a school that people are automatically eligible to go to if they live around there and replacing it with a school that you can only get into if you win a lottery. Is that a big issue?
The Department of Education says that's not a big issue because very few parents were choosing to go to the school. Last year in kindergarten, only 14 zoned families chose PS 194.
14? In a whole New York City public school?
That's what the Department of Education's numbers show.
What does that tell us?
It may say, as Eva Moskowitz says, that parents don't want to go to their zoned school. It may also say that parents who had before been choosing PS 194 from outside of the immediate zone are instead choosing other options like charter schools or other public schools.
Harlem parents, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Teachers, anyone else, 212-433-WNYC. And Boo, you're in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. Your show is my favorite show. I listen, and sometimes I call. I'm sorry, forgive me if I call a lot of times, but this one was a heavy one. I'm a teacher by profession. I have six children, but I have five in the school system. And in my view, the school system is a disaster because too many special interests are involved, and half of the homework that comes evenings. So I help my children. I don't know how to do them. Half of the homework, elementary school.
Is it a New York City public elementary school?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's the way I see it, Brian, is. I'm a journalist also by profession, so the way I see it is that the teachers' hands are tied. There's other interests involved, and the only way to get out of this is stick to basics, learn good math, good chemistry, like classic gymnasium, like classic old times. Once you go to college, you have strong foundation, you can accelerate.
I hear you. So after hearing the two clips from the debate, did you tend to side with one person or the other?
I didn't. I just got on my van, and I just I didn't hear them.
Didn't hear that part. All right, Booyah, thanks a lot for calling. Keep calling us. And to go to some of the particulars from that debate, Eva Moskowitz was making the point that there are hundreds of pages in the teachers' union contract. But she didn't get specific, at least in that clip, about what it is in the union rules, in the collective bargaining agreement, that actually harms the kids. Randy Weingarten would say nothing. Nothing in the collective bargaining agreement harms the kids. What do they say about, you know, because it's easy to take a swipe at a long contract and say it's bureaucracy. What does Moskowitz say? What do the other charter school advocates say is in the teachers' union contract that actually harms the kids?
What Moskowitz was saying last night was that she thinks that all school employees should be at-will employees like she is. And that.
What does at-will mean?
That they can be fired if they do something that's not helping the school.
If the principal doesn't like them, attitude, whatever.
Or perhaps if the principal doesn't like them or their attitude or something like that. And so she was saying that the the standard for firing a teacher is incompetence, and that at her school the standard for keeping a teacher on is that teacher must be excellent. And that's what I think she thinks the union contract inhibits.
And what about Moskowitz's claim that charter schools are knocking the ball out of the park, as she put it, all over the city, and she mentioned a few. Are the stats there to support that?
Some of the charter schools are starting to demonstrate results. Her particular schools are just having a third grade for the first time this year, so their test scores haven't yet been released. There is some indication that the charters are doing better than the other schools in their neighborhoods.
And it's always tricky to compare charter schools and other public schools because they're self-selecting populations, right? They're kids and parents who are motivated to get out of the regular school in their neighborhood and enter this lottery and get in there and go into this experimental environment. So you're not really comparing apples to apples necessarily.
It might not be exactly apples to apples, but there are a lot of parents who are entering these lotteries and a lot of people who aren't getting in and still staying in the traditional public schools. There's some interesting research being done on this question right now.
Mike in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Brian. I taught at the charter school in that building last year.
There is a charter school within the same building as PS 194?
Yeah, there's a middle school, a charter middle school on the top floor. And then 194 was like the bottom three floors or four floors.
Okay, great.
And, the charter schools certainly are open to criticism, but the elementary school there were pockets of success and certainly teachers who were working really hard. But, by and large, walking through the hallways there, it was really chaotic. And then you'd come up to our floor, and it was really calm and quiet, and work was getting done.
Do you have a sense of why the difference in the same neighborhood?
Well, I think part of what you said is true. Charter schools definitely need to look at the self-selecting population. The students at charter school aren't all coming from that immediate neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, and you've got, I think, the parent involvement is very different. You have tremendous parent buy-in. What I'm concerned about is what your guest just mentioned, was that there are a lot of parents who also want to be part of that. So let's say you have a parent who's child is at 194, and they would happily sign up for a charter school. There's just not enough spots. Right now, their student is stuck in a school that's basically dysfunctional. So at the end of the day, all I care about is that kid getting a good education. We're always going to have students and families who struggle more than others, and there's a big question about what do we do about that.
How much do you think the union contract contributes to the problem? Randy Weingarten's point in the clip we played is that Massachusetts, which has even stronger teacher union contracts, also has better education achievement.
Right. And Finland,
she quoted as another international example.
Why doesn't she look at the most challenging schools in Massachusetts? Using Massachusetts as a whole is not a good indication of what's happening with, an inner-city school in Boston and how are things going there. So, that comparison just doesn't hold any water. You have to look at if the most difficult schools in Boston are experiencing success, and if their contract is viable, then why doesn't New York City adopt it? Like she said, I would love to make some changes in the New York City contract that you guys could make in the charter school contract if one existed. So why doesn't she just do it? What is she waiting for?
Mike, thank you for your call. And to try to answer that question, Felissa, Randy Weingarten tried to offer something of a peace treaty in that New York One debate last night, inviting Eva Moskowitz to visit a charter school that is under UFT control. So the union itself runs charter schools?
The union runs two charter schools and also participates in running a third.
And what about what Mike asked about the union rules, about the contract?
His question about why doesn't Randy Weingarten write a new contract?
Yep.
The contract is going to be up for negotiation this summer.
Because she did seem to offer to have a collective bargaining agreement that's different for charter schools than for the rest of the public school system. Any idea what she has in mind or whether that's a feasible alternative?
She spoke last night about flexibility and that the contract currently offers more flexibility than perhaps Eva Moskowitz understands. And the UFT contract is going to be renegotiated by the end of this year. We may see some changes.
And Michael in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Yes, good morning. What I don't understand is the president sends his children to a private school, and I've written about this in the Huffington Post. Why can we not rescue our public schools in the United States of America and have quality education like they have in Europe instead of creating this two-tiered elitist system where schools, charter schools, get to self-select and get to take the best teachers and get our tax dollars in order to create this elitist system which is so anti-American?
Are you saying it's all about money?
It's all about money. Look at our system. What is the big difference in our system? The best schools are the schools that have the most resources, and those are also the schools that have the most parent involvement.
Michael, thank you. A lot of others would say it's not that simple, right?
Absolutely. Some schools in the city get a lot of money and don't do well. Some schools, like Eva Moskowitz's, receive a little bit less money, or so she says, and they're doing pretty well.
So while they hash out this PS 194 on West 144th Street situation in court, did you get the sense last night that common ground is possible, that Eva Moskowitz might be open to a different kind of labor contract but a union contract at her schools?
I did not get that sense. I certainly got the sense that Randy Weingarten is open to compromise on what has traditionally been thought of as what unions want for schools.
Felissa Kramer, reporter for the website GothamSchools.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we'll meet a teacher from Brooklyn College and her robot. Stay tuned.